Chair, can I be excused at 1 o'clock?
I know.
I have another meeting at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Not the same one, not at all.
We are reporting on our activities that were taken on the second quarter of the financial year. We were requested by the committee to present the highlights and our challenges. And we will also be putting on the table our spending patterns and trends, of course, within our financial constraints. The base for the General Commission has not increased. One of the challenging moments for this quarter is that we are a bit short from our previous year this time. What has caused us to be lower than the percentage of the last financial year, we took time. The prisons where we are doing research, they didn't want to allow us to get in and access their facilities. But that then has been addressed. And therefore we lost some percentage work that because of that delay. Also, we wanted to also present to the committee that we are noting that some of our commissioners, their terms have ended or are about to end, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. For the next 5 months, we will be bleeding commissioners. But we wished to put on the table and also to share that we really appreciate the prompt move of supporting the work of the General Commission. At least the ad hoc committee has put on the table a process to fill in the vacancies, and therefore the commission won't be lost and lose a quorum. I think that everything might be before it degenerates, the commissioner, the full position will be again, hopefully by the last quarter of this year. We also want to report to the commission to the committee that we this quarter we also have had some challenges with our employee relations. Some of our employees have been suspended. One of our employees, that can be a parliamentary officer, is on precautionary suspension, comrade, and it is a labor-related matter. So we are hoping that we will be able to resolve that. The other issue that we also want to table also is labor-related. We have Sandile, who was working with comrade, our parliamentary unit, in fact, is in disarray. And himself, he has challenged the Gender Commission outcome. And just to put it on the table, honorable members, that he won an award at the CCMA for 8 months. And therefore, it becomes a risk for the commission. But we have challenged that. So we are awaiting the outcome. But we are putting it on the table that it's possible. If we don't win, if we might, our litigation costs, I know that you have always been warning us about the litigation costs, that our litigation costs might prove a bit significant, because even with Kamraj, he opts to do an independent disciplinary process. So we just want to table those So something about the litigation. So we also want to table this quarter that we might be looking at some imminent risks that we are dealing with, like our contract management processes. I think that we will see when we are talking about our audit plan, that we are responding as early as possible. We have agreed to put on a case, a contract monitoring report, so that we can see what is happening with our contract, especially the employment contract in the institution, because it has been flagged as a risk by the auditor. So we are responding to that. We are also responding this quarter to our irregular expenditure. I know that it's part of the past financial year. And we will have our report. We just wanted to put as a matter of fact, Honorable Chair, that the irregular expenditure was only addressed this quarter, so we will report next quarter. The other thing that we also want, we don't want to, we want not to put here sunshine reports only, but to also report as consciously as possible and be transparent, that we are looking also at our upgrading our legal complaints system and making it automated. But we are having challenges, and therefore we will stay a bit for this financial year on our old method while we warm up to our automated system. But we are trying to respond to the legal complaints and making them more efficient and more consistent. There is nothing to declare about the governance of the structure. Our meetings are sitting, the plenaries are sitting, our oversight committees are sitting. Today I've brought in two of our plenary commissioners. Commissioner Bata is responsible for the Finance Oversight Committee, and Commissioner Bota is the Oversight Chair for the IT, and they are joining us together with our CEO. Commissioner Bota, you can greet the honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members.
Good morning.
Commissioner Bata. And then we also have Usikolile. Usikolile is our provincial manager for Western Cape. And then we have our CEO and the CFO. We also want to report that our commissioners as a plenary, what we have also been doing is to look at the functioning of our provincial offices, just making sure that things are running smooth. And I know that Commissioner Porter, Commissioner Bata, have been doing some fact finding in our Western Cape province. And this is one of the things that we found out when coverage is now on the precautionary suspension. It's one of the work that was done by the commissioner when we were doing our oversight work in our offices, that we found a bit of a misdemeanor done by our employees, because they are very far from head office. So the commissioners will be doing our oversight in the provinces, just to make sure that our provinces are doing what they need to do. So I just wanted to put it also on the table. Our commissioners, all of them, the 11, 12 of them, are very functional, I must say, Mama. I had a very productive time with them. Myself being on my last leg in the institution, I just want, as we are going to present, to put it up front, that I'm very appreciative of the support that I have enjoyed from the commissioners themselves. I've had a very productive team. I'm so proud of them. And we are ready then to present, Mama, and also just to say to the committee, thank you very much for keeping us on our toes. And we are hopeful that the next set of commissioners, as they come, they will enjoy the same support that we have enjoyed with this portfolio committee. Our achievement and what we have endeavored to do was to only make sure that your trust that you put in the commission is valid, and we wanted to make sure that we don't drop the ball. So thank you very much. I'm going to give over to the CEO to present the actual report, if you allow. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. As the Chair has already indicated, we are looking at the work that he did as the Commission for the second quarter, starting from July to September. Just to indicate, in terms of percentages, normally when we do the work, before we can do reporting, we give the work together with the evidence to our internal auditors so that they can give us a sense of how we have performed for the quarter. And in this particular quarter, we have performed 78.7% towards the 100% of metals that we needed to look into. And as indicated, as is highlighted in the actual progress table of the ATP that we have given the honorable members, we have highlighted some of the variances there and have highlighted some of the reasons and what corrective action we are going to take. That's in the ATP table that was circulated earlier. Safe to say that we indicated in the last quarter that we were struggling to get access to the correctional facilities so that we can then take away the work, undertake the work that we needed to do as far as our research work is concerned. And in terms of that, we have been able to now currently get access. We have had to almost threaten subpoena for us to then get access. And so as much as the work was late, we do not foresee a risk. We will be able to finish that particular report. The colleagues in the research department have already gone and they've already covered quite a number of provinces that they needed to in terms of data collection. We highlighted as well the work that we have been doing that it was born out of the previous reports that we did, the reports that we also engaged this particular committee on in terms of the gender mainstreaming within the mining sector. In this quarter as well, we still continued to engage with the mines. We had an engagement with Two Rivers Mine, which is under the jurisdiction of Limpopo, even though I know that it's quite close to Mpumalanga. And we have also had some engagement in the Northern Cape as well during the month of August around some of the work that they need to do, talking gender mainstreaming broadly, but as well trying to engage them for them to audit themselves and look into their policies and look into some mainstreaming strategies that they can put in place, put some plans in place. So that's the work that we did that really stems from the work that we have done from the previous financial year. As we were undertaking work, though we were able to still meet our targets specifically for the Northern Cape, we should remember that there were quite a number of protests that took place for like 3 weeks there, and but we were still able to ensure that service delivery happens, even though at each, you know, at differing points, we have had to then release staff in that particular office. In the current financial year, there are projects that we are working on, and these particular projects are cross-cutting projects. We members will remember that in our APP we have actually looked into issues around sexual, reproductive and health rights, and we have also indicated that we would like to review and look into the National Gender Policy Framework and see the possibility of having it properly legislated in terms, instead of it just being a policy framework. And so out of that a particular a process, we have been doing quite a number of engagements at provinces, various provinces, so we are still on course. We will not report on it at this stage because we want to, we are trying to get all the information so that we are able to have separate reports specifically for these things that will then be able to guide us in terms of what needs to be done on SRHR specifically. In terms of the work that we have done, when we look into most of the cases that we are dealing with, there are quite a number of cases across provinces that give us an indication that access to justice is still a bit of a challenge, and it's not a, it's a challenge more often than not, because in most of the cases that we are dealing with, we seem to have personnel within the justice cluster themselves that are either respondent on some of these cases and therefore are using the system itself to ensure that the wheel turns slow as it were in terms of access to justice. So we have some cases that we are dealing with, specifically in the Northwest Province, where there was a rape that actually took place 10 years ago, and because the respondent there is also within the justice cluster itself, there seems to just be a whole lot of, you know, problems that are coming up. Issues put on the table just to ensure that the case doesn't move on. So we see this, you know, quite it being quite there. I mean, taking into account that even in Gauteng previously there are some cases that we have dealt with. Now we are now looking to the Northwest, but also in the Limpopo province we also saw a similar a trend on some of these particular cases. And so we are engaging, still engaging vigorously with the justice cluster in terms of seeing what are the kind of things that can be done to ensure that justice is done and that the system does not unnecessarily favor some of these respondents by virtue of them holding specific positions within the cluster. I will not get too much into systems improvements because I think the chair has highlighted some of the system improvements that we are doing. Safe to say that part of what we are doing is to overhaul our HR system and ensure that we integrate it with the current financial system so that the both ends are able to speak together. We used to previously have separate systems for performance management, for instance, and all that, but we are now ensuring that those they form and speak to each other, the HR and the financial side, and so that's the work that we have been working on. And the idea as well is for us to be able to eventually realize one of the objectives that we have been hoping to do once our IT was integrated, as we had said previously, and that is ensuring that some of the procurement, especially for things like catering and the little things that we are doing, is able to actually happen in provinces and we don't centralize unnecessarily. So we are right at the tail end of that particular phase. With this particular system improvement, which will then assist and ensure that provinces can take over some of the work that needs, that they can then undertake in the system, looking to procurement and all that. As highlighted, we had indicated previously that we were in the process of rolling out a new telephone management system a system that will not be telecom based, but that is more voice over internet, which will assist us in saving costs. So that's another process that we have put in place in order to try and ensure that we save costs, telephone costs and all that, and we will then be doing a voice over internet instead of the usual the previous system that we were using. And this system is such that when we phone provinces as extensions instead of phoning out like we used to do. So that those are some of the things that we'll be working on. It has been rolled out everywhere. We just had a few issues that we needed to deal with in our Pretoria office. There were issues with the microwaves and all that from IT and we are on course as far as everything else is concerned. As indicated, we indicated in the last quarter that we indicated or we highlighted the fact that we are now getting into a software in order for us to handle our complaints on the system. And as the chair has highlighted, there have been quite a few glitches that we have realized in the system. And we are still trying to work those through. Initially, when we put the system together, we had said that we will pilot it only for one quarter. But now we've taken a decision that it may be a bit risky to just pilot it for just one quarter, especially when during that quarter there are quite a number of problems that we have picked up from the system's side, but as well from the user side. And so we have then requested a plenary, and plenary has adopted that we run the both system, the physical system, so that we can then get audited properly on the physical system, but also still continue to see how to improve and ensure that the software or the actual system is actually working, so that it can then get audited at a later stage. The issue is if we then declare it to be a running system, we will have problems at a point when we get audited. So we would rather run the two systems, get audited like we have always been audited on the physical system, but also working to ensure that we improve and put whatever that needs to be put in place as far as the system, the software system is concerned, and ensure that we do troubleshooting properly. We just highlighted in terms of how we have reached the 78.7% of work that was achieved for this quarter. This comes specifically just from the table that would have been circulated that gives progress as far as these methods are concerned. Just to highlight in terms of the work that is there for evaluating existing legislative framework in the APP for this current quarter, we have just worked on about five submissions. And we still try as much as possible to follow through and go back to the older submissions just to see how work is being done and whether some of the things that we have highlighted are being taken on board. As members would know, one of the things that we've been working on quite vigorously is the elections project. Now that elections are upcoming, we have been quite busy, obviously looking into the previous records that we have had, trying to have engagement and being given a platform by the IEC in terms of trying to engage with political parties on some of the things that we are hoping that they will put forward in their manifestos, in their policies as we go forward. And so we do look at the fact that there have been some progressive strategies to try and improve women's political participation. But we want to see some of those things actually, those strategies actually taking, happening physically as we are going into the elections, and so that those are some of the things that we'll be looking into quite closely, trying to track and see how far they are going, and whether indeed whatever that they have been putting and whatever engagements that they've been having have been utilized so that physically we can see those results. So we are on course in terms of the work that needed to be done. Mostly it was all about a desktop work, just to see whether, you know, what are the kind of things that political parties are doing, and then looking into their policies and all that. So we will report much more comprehensively on these things once we have now seen the end results after the elections, and having gone back and looked specifically just to check what is it that has been done by political parties, what are the results when we look at the provincial, at the legislatures, when we look at the National Assembly, National Cabinet and all that. So we will have much more information that is more comprehensive, which we will then be utilizing in comparison with what we have already done in prior years, and what we have seen in the current year as well. As far as the work that we're doing in assessing, this still all falls under strategic objective one, assessing women's representation and participation within the traditional sector. During the previous financial year, we had done other provinces, and so this year we are still focusing on others. We have been able to engage with National House of Traditional Leaders. We have been able to go to the houses themselves in the various provinces to engage and talk about some of these things and some of the issues that we have highlighted. We are trying to get as much information as possible. This time around, part of what we are also trying to check is what it is that AMAKOSI does themselves when under their own areas their issues are being unraveled around child marriages and all that. So this information, this report is actually this year going to be much broader than the previous one, because in the previous financial year we were looking at gender mainstreaming, but because in the previous financial year we've also seen some of the issues that are coming up around child underage marriages and all that, these are the things that we'll be linking up with in this financial year, also taking into account that our theme and overall theme for this year is also looking at sexual, reproductive and health rights broadly, as much as we are doing all the various work in terms of the APP. So we undertook field work as far as that is concerned, and we will come back in terms of highlighting most of the issues that are coming out. In terms of the women in correctional facilities, even with this one, we are also now broadly looking into the health issues, but also looking into how the stay and all the other issues are being taken or looked into. We are assessing those conditions and circumstances under which women that are incarcerated in some of these centers are held, and we will also be looking into issues around reproductive health care, welfare services that are rendered to inmates and all that. And for this quarter, we have gone to Durban, we have gone to all the other centers, as I indicated. We did get a bit of issue in terms of access, but we are on course in terms of the work that is being undertaken, and we do not see any problem in terms of that work not being completed. So we will be able to report much more fuller in the third quarter once we have analyzed most of the data that we would have taken. In the previous financial year, we had reports, two research reports that were put together, and we normally in the next year then have what we call policy dialogues or briefings, and the idea is to try and engage with policymakers on the outcomes of some of those specific reports. And so we looked into the mining sector. as members would be aware, and the correctional services report for the previous financial year. And we were only able to convene a policy dialogue on mining sector and engaging with two mining houses, Petra Diamonds and Impala Platinum, in terms of trying to highlight to them some of the issues that we have found and what needs to be done. And we really hope that they will also be able to take most of this work forward, or our recommendations forward, the same way that ARM and all the others have done, and as we are reporting now, as I highlighted under the overview, some of the work that we have been doing in some of these provinces, the Two Rivers and all that, is the work that is coming out of that particular report. And so we are hoping that they will also take the work forward. We could not engage because we do also invite, you know, departments and all that, but we could not engage during that particular process, though we had invited Department of Labor and others just to try and engage. But we are quite happy that DMR itself has now launched a program specifically that is looking at gender, even though we are still hoping that it will just not be gender and others, but try and put it specifically for gender. But at this stage, we do know that they are looking into disability and all the other things, and so we are quite happy with that at this particular moment. Under strategic objective 2, the systemic investigations of members would be aware that we are running with for this financial year, looking into the higher institutions of learning, looking into transformation on procurement. This is the new one for this financial year, maternal health and PEPS work. For the universities that are now left, we've been doing a series of these. And this is now the last leg in terms of the universities that we have. We'll be looking into the smaller ones that are new kids in the block, as it were, the university in Mpumalanga, Soblachi, Nelson Mandela, and all that. We had sent out questionnaires as per usual and gotten information for us to then be able to analyze. We are actually supposed to be meeting with them in this week, Thursday, they're supposed to come and appear before us like we normally do, or like we have done with the others, so that we can then engage further on some of the work that we have been doing. We are aware as well that the provinces themselves also take up some of the issues directly with some of the previously we had looked at the Western Cape, and I know that the Commissioner for the Western Cape, together with the office there, they are also planning an engagement just to go back in the coming weeks with that province, work hand in hand, just to look into what is it that they have done on some of the things that we had put forward. We will also be doing systemic gender violations in shelters. We have already engaged with the shelter movement. We have had meetings. They have given us, they have assisted us to identify and give us some of the shelters that are belonging to them that we can then be able to engage with. We are calling Department of Social Development because it's quite key as far as this particular work is concerned. And so we will be looking into that directly. And I know that the Office of the Chair as well, we have been engaging with some complainants that are looking specifically into, you know, some of the payments within, you know, the salaries and everything else within this particular sector. So as much as it's almost separate, but I just wanted to highlight it because it will almost interface with the actual transformation hearings that we will be undertaking as far as that is concerned.
We also have a new one. We, as a commission, we did indicate that we know that government has put in place policies, procurement policies that are supposed to force departments to reinvest a specific percentage towards women empowerment and within the procurement space specifically. So we have called upon four big departments just to get a sense and check the work that they do to see whether this policy, is it just a policy in paper or whether practically it does actually empower women and whether women are able to access that particular 30% that is supposedly ring-fenced specifically for empowering women so that we get services as departments, as government from women-owned businesses. And so we have engaged, I mean, just because one is reporting now, previously we had done all the relevant work that needed to be done. We had had two departments that had requested to respond at a later stage. They have now responded, and we have actually engaged with them in hearings last week already. Some of these departments, I will not talk about what came out of there because there's a lot that we would need to engage this committee on in the third quarter when we then report in terms of what came out of this, that particular process. As far as the maternal health is concerned, the colleagues are busy putting a report out, and we will then engage with that report in the next quarter. As far as the sex work report is concerned, members would remember that over and above the position paper that we had released an investigation report where we had specific complaints that were coming up that were directed specifically at members of the SAPS. And so we have engaged in this particular quarter. We subpoenaed the National Commissioner to come and appear before us, and he appeared on the 25th of September. And we engaged on holistically quite a number of things. As much as he was there for us to be able to engage on that report, but obviously whilst he is there, it was quite important that we also engage on issues around gender-based violence and all that directly. And so there are quite a number of resolutions and arguments that came out of that particular engagement with the police commissioner, and we will be following quite closely just to see what is happening. The idea is for them to do quite a number of processes. They must do some specific directives that should be able to guide police as they undertake the work. We want them to do some sensitization workshops around some of the areas. It's not good enough that when people go to police station, you are told that you must go back and deal with issues at home, or you handle issues as a family matter. And so those are quite issues that we were engaged with, that we then decided that there probably needs to be some sensitization work that they do, and that they need to also be able to come up with means in terms of how they capture and they report some of the statistics and all that. In terms of the legal department, we have tried, obviously after having engaged with this committee, getting quite a number of inputs in terms of how maybe we can make our reporting even better, and so we have tried to really come up with this one, this reporting a template that also gives a sense of how many complaints were pending, how many were registered just for a specific quarter, and which ones had an assessment, if there's an investigation that is pending, which ones are still pending, and all that. So this is just to be able to give members a holistic thing in terms of how we are doing as far as some of these matters are concerned. In terms of cases, I think we still see maintenance matters are still high, and obviously gender-based violence will also be high. There are some systemic problems that we have also picked up in the Limpopo province as far as the payment of maintenance are concerned. Actually, it's fraud that is happening there, and we've been engaging with Department of Justice. They are aware and they are trying to actually assist and find ways and means of stopping this particular process. But at this stage, as and when something happens, when they pick up, they then have to go back and correct. It may not be an efficient way of dealing with some of the problems that we have with maintenance, fraud where, the person that is manning the system can just put in, some details of where the money must go to instead of the money going to the poor woman there that is waiting for maintenance. But they are aware, and as we go along, there are specific, measures that are trying to put. I think that we're still trying to see what kind of measures that they can put so that right from the onset, something like that does not happen. I mean, yes, it's being corrected, but they are working. It's the way the system is, and they are working hard, and I'm hoping that they will then be able to check what kind of things or what further things they can put in the system to detect and ensure that such things don't happen. This was just a slide just to give a sense in terms of how we have worked, how we have closed files. I think part of what this committee has been asking us to do is to say that we need to close the cases that we open instead of just, opening cases. And we are really indicating that for the past two quarters, quarter one and quarter two, we really have tried to ensure that we close as many cases as possible. Obviously, closure of cases also takes into account the investigation processes and all that, so we will not move to just quickly close whilst, there are issues that need to be worked on. But also, if we have this particular work on the radar, it will actually assist in ensuring that work gets done efficiently as well. For this particular quarter, we have undertaken 22 legal and outreach advocacy clinics. And this is the work that we do in collaboration between legal department and public education and information. And we've been crisscrossing the country trying to reach out and ensure that we engage. There are quite a number of things. I have not put all the provinces because as we go around, there are specific matters that come up. So I have not been able to put all the issues on the table. Otherwise, I know that this report will spend here 2 hours or more still looking into that. But we've just highlighted the ones that we felt that there needs to probably be engagement and for us to see how to deal with them. We are saying as a country that gender-based violence is right, and there are specific things that we need to do to ensure that this is stopped. In KZN, Utrecht, when we were doing, we went to three places there when we were undertaking the legal clinic. And there were real concerns that were coming up as far as delay around DNA results are concerned. And I think that this is actually a problem across the country, because if members would remember, in the last reporting period, the same issue was raised as far as Eastern Cape was concerned. It was one of the issues that they had raised, the fact that in the Eastern Cape, when anything happens, all the results, I think, get sent here in Cape Town somewhere. And so some of these cases, we keep saying they're important, they need to be finalized, but it takes a while because of some of these things. So there's possibly something that we need to do because it seems to be coming up from other quarters as well. And as I have highlighted, issues of maintenance are still a bit tricky, and they are coming up as well when we have some of these engagements in the provinces as well. And so I've just tried to just highlight, I think, issues around the administration of airspace is also a problem, and I think it's also still predominant in some of our rural provinces. I mean, we do see, previously we have highlighted some of these issues when we were looking into Mpumalanga work that was in Mpumalanga, and some of the work in the Eastern Cape or as well, looking into some of these issues, and now we are highlighting it as well, specifically for Limpopo as well. And so we're hoping that as at the end of the financial year, once we have been able to collect all these and have an analysis, that we could have specific recommendations in terms of what needs to be done. But I mean, those ones that are looking like a DNA and all that, I think that there must be specific things that government must already think about putting in place. We do know that the country does not have money and all that, but I think it's going to be important. If we want to say that we want to fight the scourge of gender-based violence, it's going to be important that we have uplifted some of these issues and put them forward as far as some of the work is concerned. In terms of outreach and advocacy, we still continue to engage with municipalities, trying to train them on gender mainstreaming generally, and trying to introduce them in terms of what sustainable development goals are about, and how they can assist them in, if they include them in their programs and the work that they do. Various provinces have been targeting provincial IDP managers forums to undertake this particular workshops and see how we can then assist them in the work. The Western Cape, as members would know, has always given us a bit of a headache, I guess, in terms of, when it comes to issues around gender mainstreaming and all that. But we are quite happy that our commissioner there and the current new manager has been able to meet with the provincial department on some of the issues. And so we are hoping that we would get the platforms that we have requested as far as being able to engage broadly on gender mainstreaming is concerned. So we'll keep a watch on that. So in other words, that we have done, just to highlight that when we were looking, I did indicate that we have had engagements on SRHR. As much as we are still going to be, putting a report together that looks at key information that comes across the provinces, we still have those issues that are highlighting as far as poverty and the push for younger girls to get sexually involved with older men, lack of information on contraceptives to teenagers, need for gender sensitization training for educators and all that. And we are also looking at the culture and traditions that also impact on SRHR. One of the things that we did, we held a dialogue at head office where we were also looking into some of these issues, looking into the practices that are there, or maybe having some of these clinics closing quite late so that they allow kids that are at school to be able to come and engage, not necessarily having one of the things, especially when we're talking culture and some of the traditions that impact on SRHR, we do see situations where nurses also, have particular things to say when the young ones come through and all that. But in actual fact, we are not just seeing it with SRHR only. As a commission in this particular quarter, we were approached by complainants, and these complainants were women that have been burned by acid by their husbands, and the kind of stories that they were telling us in terms of when they have now been assisted and they are now in hospital where they are now trying to heal, you know, the kind of things that they get told by our own nurses and whatever. Why would a man want to burn you right there? There must be something that you were doing, you know, those kinds of things. So we do see these things across, and these are things that we are hoping that we will be able to lift up so that our commissioners can then be in a position to strategically engage with some of the leaders in these departments, and obviously with these members of parliament as well. Because those are things that would need to be looked into. We have our radio program where we are working very closely with GCIS, and we've just highlighted the radio stations that we have been working with in this particular quarter, and also highlighted their listenership there. The idea is for us to say, if we can't go into these areas with our education programs, then we should be able to have community radio stations where we are able to engage and expand the reach, as it were. So we have had a total of 26 community radio slots for this particular quarter. And members have always wanted or had an interest in terms of the reach for each of the quota in terms of delineated in terms of men, women, and for this particular quota, the work that we did, we have been able to engage with almost 6,000 participants in our various programs, our workshops, our dialogues, and all that. And we also have that file that highlights specifically, because members have always wanted to know which areas we go to. It was quite difficult to paste all, and so I ended up putting a separate report in terms of that. As I was trying to paste it on the slides, it was just making it too difficult. So I've just pasted Gauteng just on the slides, but I have attached a separate report that looks into Northwest, all the provinces, and highlights which specific areas we've gone to. And if members will look into this, we have actually tried as much as possible in this quarter to just concentrate on rural areas. It's only Gauteng that you know, looked at urban, semi-urban, as it were, but otherwise all the other provinces we have really gone out in terms of provinces. So that report is separate. And partnerships, as we have indicated, the work that we do can be nothing without partnerships. This is how we also have a reach of sorts as far as the work is concerned. And so we still try and highlight for the quota who are the people that we have been engaging with, and with the hope that we'll be able to reach. This particular month housed Women's Month, and so we ran our usual campaign on sexual and reproductive rights, as well as customary marriages. And we, for this quarter, also prioritized utilizing our own social media platforms just to highlight some of the engagements that were happening in the various provinces. Members would remember that this is the first quarter that the relationship that we had with the SAP Foundation has ended, as we had indicated previously in the last quarter. And so we are now trying to utilize other means. As much as we have the community radio stations, but now social media is what we are now trying to push as hard as possible to ensure that we have some of our engagements highlighted in there.
We have also contributed content to the GCIS published Vukuzenzele community newspaper, so we are also working hard. We've highlighted some of the issues around customary marriages, early forced marriages, as well as issues from the Sexual Offences Act. That's the content that we contributed as far as that paper or community paper is concerned. And so work is still continuing. We are trying as much as possible as well to utilize our communications department to really assess and lift up some of the issues that are coming from the previous report, whether it's legal reports and research reports. We are working hard to ensure that we do that, and we are also trying now with a new system to see whether we can actually run our own paper instead of the way that we've been doing, having a newsletter that gets printed out, that we do that, that is now on the system itself, and that will allow us to even reach much more people. We've just included some slides in terms of how media exposure has gone for this particular work. We have two provincial manager positions that are outstanding that we are working on putting in place. That's for the Free State and the Gauteng office. For our audit colleagues, we normally, auditors always try and push us to have as many auditors as possible, but we still also try and remind them as much as possible that we are here to do gender equality first and foremost, and the little money that we have, we are trying to push for those programs. So what we normally do is we get them interns to assist them, and the interns for the current contract of the interns has ended. So we are still trying to now assist and ensure that they get further interns so that they can be able to not have a shortfall as far as their hours and all that is concerned. So work is underway. I had put a slide just to talk to or to just make sure that members also go and look into the actual APP. What I have summarized in terms of in the presentation is what is in the APP, because this APP is what we have submitted here. So we still endeavor to look activity by activity and highlight the actual performance that has been done and where there are variances, indicate what the variances are looking like. And so really, members, this is the work that we have undertaken for this particular quarter. And as indicated, issues that still need us to look into sexual harassment, violations, maintenance, and what have you. We do take into account that not so long ago there was this presidential gender-based violence summit. And we are looking closely into checking as to whether, some of the declarations or the things that came out of that process will actually be taken forward. One thing that we're still highlighting for this quota in terms of what we can do as far as legislative amendments is concerned, we still think that there are further amendments that still need to be done as far as the Maintenance Act is concerned. We're still highlighting that particular effect. And when you look into maintenance as well, I think because government does not, there's no money really. Money is difficult. And we do find that there are positions that have been placed on moratorium on some of these things, and unfortunately some of those are the maintenance investigators and all that. So we still see, those issues coming out, but yeah, we were just highlighting to say there are some things that perhaps we could look into as far as this particular act is concerned. And with that, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is it you ending or for us for ask a question? Can we ask questions now? Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, because there's not much time and I see you are giving them a third bite on the on presentations there. Yeah, just two issues I want to raise. So one issue is the, what you have raised about I'm not so familiar with human resources matters, and you're raising the issue about one of your employees that opted for a private disciplinary. Yeah, the private disciplinary, I think it is. So, as the first time I'm hearing about it. I thought the employer usually, when he took terminal discipline, the employer decides how it's going to be done. But now you say this employee have opted for a private thing. So I just want to understand what's the difference and how does it work. That's the first thing. The second issue is the issue about that your colleague raised about to empower women to reform, procurement reform. Now, is it the issue about the procurement reforms, you know, sometimes I don't like to speak in committees because, you know, there's so many committees in Parliament and you talk and you don't know whether these things that you are saying find expression anywhere, because people have spoken before me for the last 24 years in portfolio committees, and people just speak. By the end of the day, the executive runs the country and they make the laws and legislation. So I don't know that whatever we find expression. That's why I'm just sometimes just feel tired. I don't feel like saying anything in this committee. But maybe on the issue of the issue about procurement reform, you see, you cannot. The procurement currently is already in a mess in this country. The way the procurement legislation is drafted, is already not benefiting black people in general properly in this country. Now you are saying that you want to work on procurement reform. The only way to work on procurement reform is to deal with that legislation called the PMFA. That legislation we need to deal with. Because as long as you have that kind of legislation in place in this country that entrenches monopoly capital in this country, that prevents us to do drastic reforms when it comes to procurement and about empowerment of black people, you will never be able to transform procurement. So we have to look at the legislation. If we speak about procurement or transforming procurement, we must look at that legislation. And we did discuss it at NASREC. And I think it's one of our resolutions of NASREC, where we say that the PMFA must be relooked at, because that piece of legislation is a big hindrance to empowering and to transform the economy of this country and to transform even to ensure that there's meaningful procurement going to black people, besides even we talking about women, just to black people. It's a problem, that legislation, procurement. Now we say we want to reform it to make it assist women. You will not be able to do it unless we look at the legislation. So perhaps you'll need to look at the legislation and come back to us with some recommendations on how to reform the legislation. I do not know who drafted that piece of legislation, but that legislation is definitely influenced by corporate South Africa, because it benefits big monopoly capitalist country, entrenches their privileges when it comes to procurement and everything in this country. So we need to look at the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to address the issues of stereotypes everywhere where we find them. It is not just stereotypes, they are structured. If I can put it that way, they are institutionalized. It doesn't start now. When I went into birth, I think in 1985, you are scolded by nurses because you are too young to get pregnant. it is a societal stereotype. It doesn't start now under democracy. It is an entrenched structural issue implemented by capitalism. The system of capitalism influences a woman from early childhood that she must be a demeaned human being everywhere you go. It doesn't matter, it's in the street, you are demeaned by an ordinary man who digs a ground, doesn't even know you from a bar of soap, just feels that he wants to sexually harass you. If you walk in, you're just walking the street. So it shows that the problem that we have is very big. It's bigger than all of us. So it cannot start with the hospital. It cannot start. It must start with the home. Engels says the institution of the house, which is called the home, which you train a child from birth. When you give a girl child, when you give birth to a girl, you are told to dress her in pink. You are told it's a girl. Even the shops sell that. You see, even the material, the way it is structured, the designers that does the dress, that is a small pinkish shit. men have started wearing the pink because they want to neutralize. This is nothing. This is just the superficial thing at the end. Because this thing is entrenched. It's like racism. You know? It's like racism. One example about racism is when a white person rapes a child, it's a child. This is a pedophile, but he is not a pedophile because his color is white. And it's a black child that has been raped. And the rapist is assigned to a psychiatrist. And then you get a black pedophile that rapes a child, that is not given psychiatry. The first thing that they are going to say, you will not say, let him go for consultation. It's racism. You see, these are two pedophiles that with different colors. That's racism, pure racism. So the system you're dealing with, which is the justice system and the police, will do that, will implement. They implement it automatically. It's just like the gender issue. Automatically, you are assigned to go and buy a pink one for a girl. And you have women that do not resist. They go and buy. It's like the way they have commercialized oppression of women. They also commercialized the so-called Valentine, that you are compelled to wear red and white. Who determined that red and white, that love, to reflect love, you have to be in red and white? Who determines that? It's the big capital. That's what we're talking about, corporatization of a people's thinking. So, when you deal about the matter, don't deal about the superficial issue. Go and educate. It should be in such, not just resist for the sake of resisting, but go and educate, because the poor soul who's in front of you does not know that what he or she implements is oppressive in nature. We're sitting with magistrates that feels that they must give linear sentences to men than harsher sentences to women. Because they are brought up to think that women deserve the sentence. Those first-time offenders that are mostly women, that, did you do the statistics when you went for correctional services? Give us the statistics. Who are the first offenders How many first offenders, women, that God harsher sentences? Did you do that statistics? I don't know if you did it. But you'll find that those poor women, because of the judge who is male, the magistrate who has that independence of the space, has utilized that independence to inflict gender oppression. But because he's a judge, he's got the space, he's got the authority, he has inflicted that pain. So when we deal with the oppression of women, don't go just on the surface, go deeper. Even when you challenge the magistrate, you challenge the CEO or the chairperson of a council of a university that feels that it is their right to employ more males as lecturers and professors, make them professors than to make women professors and all that. Challenge them and go deeper because they are protecting a system that protects their privileges. So we need to take their privilege. If you talk about equality, it means that you are going to raffle with privileges of our male folk. And those privileges, they are going to defend them, and they will defend the system. They don't only defend the privileges that they have as men, but they also defend a system. And they must know that they are defending a system and are oppressing the whole. So the issue of stereotypes is also something. But you must also go into curriculum, the content of that curriculum. It's a problem. That content, if it is not challenged, it continues to embrace gender inequality everywhere. It can be in a primary. I gave an example of my grandson. In the house, we teach him to play with girls. And then when he goes to a pre-primary, he's taught that he can't play with girls. He has to play with boys. You see? So at pre-primary, you still have stereotypes there. The teachers there, we must find institutions that re-educate teachers even at pre-primary level. Not only teachers, parents, that we need to re-educate. The issue of parenting, I think Honorable Robinson at some stage was talking about that. Parenting was not only to discipline a child, but also the way children speak to each other and all that. So the issue of parenting there must also be addressed. The DNA delay, it is possible that the delay is deliberate, you know. But we must find out who owns that institution. Is it? Because they are private laboratories that are being used by government. Is it a private laboratory? It's like the issue of linen in hospitals. I mean, they put a patient on the previous linen that somebody who has occupied a bed in. Because, one, linen is outsourced. Why do they have to outsource linen? Because every time a patient bleeds, that patient's linen has to be changed. And the linen must be in the hospital, as it used to be. It used to be the laundry was in the hospital. So every morning, beds are being changed. And every time you bleed, somebody changes them. Because of infections, you can get an infection from another patient. You're sleeping on the bed that somebody slept in. So the issue of the DNA is the same thing. Is it outsourced or not? And if it is outsourced, so government will tell you, no, they don't have money because they don't think it is important that they must have that DNA facility for women so that they can speed up the cases. So that is one thing that I think women must go and speak out and say, these are the issues that we don't want outsourced. Government should not be left to decide. We outsource cleaning. They even outsource cleaning. Our hospitals are filthy because outsource cleaning. And they said private sector performs better. You know, we have that I have never, I, hospitals have always been cleaned by people with benefits, who had pensions, who had, now they are being cleaned by people who don't have pensions. That's it. And it's a fact. It's not like we're saying something that is different. So in the Western Cape, there are problems in gender mainstreaming. Hey, but Western Cape, you can't. We can't leave the Western Cape. It's not an independent province. It's not a British colony anymore. It's part of South Africa. It has to be involved. When South Africa moves, it must move. So what are the issues that are a problem here in the Western Cape? Because the same issues that are a problem anyway around the country, they must be addressed in the Western Cape. We can't leave it behind. So they need to come on board. It is about time that women here stand up. And no one is going to fight their fight. They must stand up. It can't be an isolated matter. All women are oppressed by the system, and they must handle it the same way. If we are united as 9 provinces against the scourge of violence against women, everybody must stand up. We can't leave the Western Cape behind. Women here are also oppressed. So there's nothing different about the Western Cape, unless they are a sovereign on their own. But they are, as far as I'm concerned, they are still a province. They're not sovereign. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Just with regards to the provinces, I think it would help to have some data. And if there's anywhere that you can send us that data or tell us where to find it so that we can take the action or try where it is required. But you've reported on your second quarterly report, which includes your annual performance targets. And I received an anonymous email complaining about a particular commissioner and its influence on the department. So this is why I have to ask these questions as it relates to or potentially relates to the performance of the Lenduga. One of the things is that there is an interference between one of the commissioners and the staff. So I don't know, I mean, we all know that there's supposed to be a separation of powers between commissioners and the employees. Also that the commissioners drafted a handbook and someone is using a police vehicle, a CGE vehicle with one of the drivers to go to and from home. And then the third thing was that that I don't know, that there's some kind of tension with the CEO where she's been undermined. So all that I'm saying is that we've got the commissioners and the department here. This thing shouldn't affect your performance now or in quarter three or quarter four in your annual performance reports. So if you can just tell this committee, you know, why would I receive this kind of information? And how are you ensuring that there's good collaboration between the commissioners and the employees? Thank you.
Do you have a copy of that? I do. Thank you very much, and let me appreciate the presentation by the
the Commission for Gender Equality. And Chair, firstly I just want to comment on the this slide CEO that you're presenting, the outreach. To where you indicate the areas that you have visited, legal clinics, for outreach awareness campaigns. I see from Mpumalanga you went to two areas that I want to mention, Siari and Marapiani. Marapiani is where I'm residing, and it's falling within Ikangal, not in Hatsivani. Can you see it? Mpumalanga. Marapiani. It's Nkangala, it's N. Nkangala. And Siabi is Nkangala. But you know the two areas, it's, they're close to each other. It's maybe six or seven kilometers yeah, in between. So I'm trying to check whether is it real that you're from Marapiani and Siabi in terms of your outreach. And secondly, Chair, just to say, it's unfortunate that you are in Parliament, and I don't know where have you, when have you visited the area. Because if we are home, maybe you should just invite us to be part of your outreaches. I think it will be good that you. I'm from Marikian, I'm from this area, and I'm just surprised now that you were there in this area. And Chad is also, you know, it's just close by. So I'm just surprised that they're here. So, and they're close to each other. So I'm just asking whether is this real or not. And secondly, the Chair, I thought you would also give us a brief report or just a progress with regard to the case that I've submitted to you in the previous quarter with regard to the abuse of or maybe the rise of widows and how SARS is dealing with their taxes and the estate of their husband. So I thought that you'd give us, I submitted some few cases, so I thought that you'd give us a report with regard to that. And when you deal with your shelters, your national shelter movement, systemic gender violations in shelters. I'm not quite sure whether your children's centers are they part of this, as they are falling within your Department of Justice, because there's an outcry that, you know, the services that you are getting from that centers not of good quality, or they are not fully resourced, these children's centers. So let it be part of the package. If not. And the other matter that I want to raise, sometimes, Chair, when we had a meeting with the chairperson of CRM, she indicated that those victims who are appearing before the overdose case, they are not receiving the protection from government. So I'm not quite sure what is your view, or have you interacted with them, have you observed those cases, what is the status quo? Because she was just frustrated saying that one of the ladies, the first witness, Sheryl Zondi, she's accommodating her. So we're just worried as the portfolio committee that if government is not intervening, and if Department of Social Development and all other entities that we think that they should intervene, they are far away from these young girls, they will end up being very frustrated. So I just want to get your view with regard to that. Commissioner Bott, have you not spoken about maintenance in your Saturday, your weekends in these or gathering? Because mostly it's men who are not paying maintenance to their kids. And I think this is one of the things that we have to discuss, at that level of men's forum, when you interact with men, these are the things that we must talk about.
Okay.
Yes. And then in the report, in your APP, the detailed report of the APP, there's somewhere where you speak about the monitoring of the EE and gender transformation report. You're saying that the Department of Rural Development and Social Development have not submitted reports. Just want to check what are the reasons, because I think the due date was the end of October. So I just want to check even now, have they not yet submitted the reports, and what are the reasons for not submitting. And on the issue of, Honorable Chu, and I think we're going to get it right. We thought that before the end of this term we'll be legislating your 50-50. But it looks like we're ending the term now without that. So I'm trying to check, CEO, that can't we use, because South Africa has ratified your SADC gender protocol. So can't we use it to enforce your 50-50 legislation? Because you're going to talk about it, you're going to talk about the frustrations that you are having, that, you know, instead of increasing the women's representation in government, in, you know, we are decreasing, and we know exactly who are the culprits here. We know them. Because the last time we called, the multi-party, we have called IEC. And I'm telling you, IEC is not yet ready to legislate this.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying like they're getting the mandate from the PLCs. And remember, who are sitting in the PLCs? These are political parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's us. So we are not going to get this right of 50-50 women's representation. I'm trying to check if we can't, you know, use your SADC because you've ratified the SADC protocol on gender, because you have ratified it as a country. Because, you know, political parties does not have interest. It will only remain us as the ANC will be able to make sure that even our guidelines now, it's clear that when we nominate, the second name, if not the first name, should be a woman. It's, we know, even when we nominate now in the branches, in the list conferences, in the national, in the provincial list conferences, we know that's the criteria, because it's there in the constitution of the political party. So basically that's my question, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I've got quite a lot of questions, and I'm not going to ask them all now because I think we've got a problem with time. So I'd just like to say that I agree with a lot of what our colleague Chewu says about influencing and so on, about fashion and marketing being responsible for certain stereotypes. But I agree with her that education is the answer. We do not follow like sheep what newspapers and what advertisers and others say. Some people do, unfortunately. And if you want to be fashionable, whether you're wearing a fancy new hairstyle or colors or whatever, that's your choice. But I don't think that everybody does this. Certainly in my family and whatever, we've taught everybody to be independent thinking. You do what you want. But it is education, and we certainly need to get to our educational authorities to make sure that all of the educators, as with the nurses and other people who have this very harsh attitude towards people who are actually seeking help, it makes me so angry that I think that, you know, young women who are being responsible in not wanting to have a child are being treated in this way. So we really need to look at the curriculums of our teaching institutions and of nursing colleges and make sure that this dominance of gender oppression cannot stop. And so often we women are actually oppressing fellow women, and we really need to stop it. So clothing and fashion, yeah, it's an individual's choice. One, you know, can't stop people buying what they want to. But there shouldn't be that pressure And I know that my generation and younger, people are all saying, I will not dress my baby in pink. And you're going for gender-neutral things. So it is a matter of choice. But let us get to our institutions and get them to be sensible. We need balance in all these things. Now, with regard to the Western Cape, I hear what you're saying, and I was actually going to follow up as well. Could we have data? Where is the Western Cape being difficult or problematic? Because I would like to know that. I'm one of the main gender advocates in this province and within my party, and I have been fighting a battle for this. And if people are not responding, then we must see to it. But I want to say that you can't just isolate one province. There is rape, there is abuse, there is gender discrimination in every single province. But we need to see what we can do to change these attitudes. Unfortunately, these things don't happen overnight. And they are probably not parliamentary to say it, so I'll put it in inverted commas, MCPs. I don't know if you know about that. That's something I grew up with, male chauvinist pigs. Not very good. I was poor if I have to apologize. So we just have to make sure that we bring up our children and our grandchildren in such a way that we are all respectful of one another, whether we are male or female. And referring to the British colony, I think it's actually KZN that's referred to as the British colony, not the Western Cape. But let me check. That's what people sometimes say. I know it's not true. None of these generalizations are true. But I read something in the newspapers today where in Britain there is such an emphasis now on gender neutrality, and they're even starting at preschool. And this was one of the reasons that my daughter left England where she was working, because she said she couldn't bear the fact that her child at 4 years old was being taught everything about come out if you're gay, etc. And this whole big thing of, people have got alternatives. Of course you have alternatives, but really, children of that young age don't know, and I don't think they need to know. That can come when you come with your own sexual identity, when you're a teenager or whatever. But the report that I read today said that this was an abuse, that children who were autistic, and we know that autistic people cannot really think, that they are being encouraged to be cross-dressers. Now, what are we doing to our society? So, you know, this is what's happening there, something I personally don't like of, but let's just have the choices. But I would like to know about the Western Cape and what the problems are. So, as my colleague Terry said, can we have the data? And let's fight these things ourselves within our own parties, within our own provinces. I think I will. Oh yes, and then I'm sorry, I came in a little late. I had been here early, but then I had to take a phone call, and I missed the beginning of this of the presentation. I heard something about a cautionary suspension, and the name of Commissioner Kamaraj was mentioned. I'd just like to know more detail about that, and then is that relating to the private disciplinary? I think we've asked often to know what the problems are, and let's see where we can assist, or whether, you know, this is something that is, let's just leave it at that for the moment. I think I'll leave it at that, but fashion, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're painting your nails with glitter like mine, or you've got designs on them, or when you don't have your nails painted, that's your choice. It's not capitalism, it's whatever. We make our choices, so let's just go for individual choice. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I made a mistake, but I did hear his name mentioned. So if we can just have clarity, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think the commissioner's handbook, we will send it to the committee so that the committee can look at our commissioner's handbook. I think that one is readily available. And honourable member, on the employees of the gender commission, what is also interesting is to be stalked wherever we are by one particular employee. former employee, he was also sitting here in the room today. We have not seen that employee, but we want to have a court order now for him, because he's been writing so many things about the gender commission, unsubstantiated things. He's been threatening. We have actually asked security guards to look around our building, the employees, the former employee that was here, giving security guards his space, just to keep our employees safe and the CEO. He's also threatened to take, he brought the sheriff to one of our offices, to attach our goods. So it is a concern, And then two, with the parliamentary unit of the gender commission, we wanted to be transparent and accountable to you that you are not there to see our parliamentary officer, who has been now, or he is on precautionary suspension. This happened after the commissioner. We had a special plenary and we're looking at issues of the gender commission, and then we decided to intervene on the Western Cape function of the office. And therefore, it's allegedly for now, but we have found some issues that we wanted to delve into. And the issue of the arbitration, or what he has chosen, is in his contract. So it's well within his right to say, I don't trust the gender commission. I would like to, exercise an independent arbitration or an independent process. It's within his contract, so it's allowed. But we continue to be concerned about our employees and education. So as far as the handbook is concerned, we'll send it. As far as commissioners and treasurers and everything, our handbook is there to transparent to be seen by everyone. Our drivers are used by all our commissioners, but nevertheless we want to respond to a return investigation so that we can actually respond. But we can, if I have my, you have the help of the country, maybe we can send it to the country. It's very clear what can be done and what cannot be done. I also wanted to directly respond to the issue of interference. The commission and the staff of the commission, the relationship will always be in conflict. And what makes it conflictual is that the accounting officer has to account to the authority. So it's an employer and employee relationship. So as you see out here, we are not sunshine, because she has to account. She has to account to the commission. I also have to account to the commission. Myself, it's not sunshine to be a checker. I have to still account to the commission. So it can be interpreted in many ways, but our relationship, what would be conflictual about our relationship is to account, because you are not. So I just want to the committee to rest assured that we will do what we need to do to protect the position as the commissioner. And the CEO, enabled by the PMFA, does what she is supposed to do, but we have to account each other. I wanted to respond to the same case, just to take honorable member to the commissioner's report. One of our commissioners, two commissioners are actually deployed here. Just to take you to page 29 of 62. 29 of 62 gives us a sense of the Western Cape and what are the challenges of Western Cape. But I must say to some venues for Western Cape, our relationship has improved immensely with government. We had a consultative meeting that was held only on the 24th of August, which is a breakthrough. What we are concerned about, and I think that we have written there, that the Premier, the OSD, the Office of the Status of Women, 7 out of 9 provinces still have the office located in the Office of the Premier. So while Gauteng and Western Cape choose other models. So in Western Cape, 2006, they decided to merge into a larger directorate, and that directorate is named Social Dialogue and Human Rights. We have concluded that there is a need to revitalize the provincial gender machinery for Western Cape and to promote gender mainstreaming in departments and to engage internally with the focus on Employment Equity Act, gender transformation in the workplace, and externally with the focus on human rights and gender responsive budgeting. We also have a direct relationship that is very helpful with the MEC, the former MEC now, of safety and liaison. The purpose of the meeting was on how the two entities will work together for the upcoming 15 days of activism. So I'm just trying to give you a sense that we just need more information, because the directorate, the way it is structured, it doesn't give us exact numbers and figures like the other provinces. So I'm sure that next time, as our working with Western Cape improve, we will have a direct number that we can give to you, who is where. Like in other provinces, we know which departments are lacking, we know, but we can only get that information from this office. So that is what we would like to state. On language and gender language, we are doing something about gender language. I wanted to talk about PENSAL. We have a working relationship with PENSAL, where we are now developing gender terminology into indigenous languages. So we have started with Sesotho, and I know that one of our invitees, the commission manager, and two commissioners, Commissioner Sobahle and Mohale, are directly involved in developing a gender terminology in the indigenous languages in partnership with PENSAL. So I just wanted, and then, Honorable Member, you asked about the case that on a widow. What we have seen, Honorable Member, there are cases that are sitting with law reform, and what we have done as the Gender Commission, there are three matters that were referred to us, previous parliamentary appearance. All three ladies were consulted telephonically. We have also sent complaint forms for completion, as well as a request for information relating to SARS and GEPF. The statement of what was paid out and what was deducted, so we are at that stage where we want that substantive primary information. We are waiting the submission of the documents. And also, that just to contextualize, the matter relates to an issue that we are waiting for from the law reform, as the argument is that widows must be exempted from the tax provision in instances of pension funds. Mm-hmm. This issue has been canvassed before with National Treasury and SARS, mm-hmm. and forms part of the engagement the legal department is busy with. The SA Law Reform Commission is going to appear with us. We're going to have a discussion on it. But I just want to highlight that is how far we have gone. So we're waiting for the substantive information, but the broader context to it is that maybe we should talk to National Treasury to just get a sense of how far we are just using the parliamentary powers on this one. Commissioner Balta, you wanted to respond to something.
The Honourable Chair and Honourable Political Principals, I even see the Chair, our Honourable Chairperson for Women for us. I will be very brief. DNA is a program. The fact that not all provinces have DNA laboratories, mm-hmm. because white DNA is taken from Sanuni to the head office in San in King William's town, in Greenwich. Who tampers with that DNA? where is it kept after being taken? And also the fact that there will be a Loiso policeman called Loiso Mchobile who will take them bi-weekly or so. What happens to them? And it takes a long time. A case has been thrown out here in Tinguinamsa of a colored 53-year-old woman with a disability. It's thrown out, raped by a foreign national who doesn't have papers in South Africa, who's an illegal immigrant, because the DNA fall into the crack. It didn't come. The magistrate threw out the case, a woman magistrate. We have really very serious challenges. I put it to the Premier, I put it to members of the legislature, because we work together to say, let's amend this thing of having laboratories in every province to speed up the investigation so that cases are not thrown out. Procurement, the honourable member has left, it all doesn't only deal with women, people with disabilities, people, I mean young people, the policy and the legislation is clear. There's reluctance in implementing it. It is not happening. Influencing the parliamentary suspension. The chairperson, having come to the commission, has dropped the vote, honourable members. I'm saying it in front of the officials and many, many things have been unraveled that have been happening under our nose, not knowing that they are happening. We are investigating them, and we'll get to them before we leave this commission. Whether we get a second term as we're entitled to it or we don't get it, we will drop the vote. We have started to do it. That is why you are investigated. That is why you have an IT manager that is now having, because we've been hammering on consequence management, which was not happening in the commission, honorable member. The fact that we came here, we found the 34 million unauthorized expenditure. Nobody was involved with consequence management. Nothing was done except the investigations that were done by the public protector and other things. Lastly, proportional suspension was a reason from a fact that the chairperson said there's a lot of halubalu in Western Cape. The parliamentary officer is fighting with this officer who was supposed to be a parliamentary officer. In fact, since employment, this officer who has been awarded, from 2013, he had said so in my report that I compiled for the commissioners, because I did that investigation with Mr. Commissioner Porter and Commissioner Mukhale, who is an advocate. And I compiled the report. He said, Sandile Ngobeni, I wish he was here. I haven't done any work.
No, he was here, he disappeared.
I have not done any work, because when he was employed as a researcher, he didn't do work. After 9 months, the manager refused to sign his probation, and he was fired. But the commissioners that were there said and reinstated him. And again, he was posted to Cape Town. I asked him, do you know anything about Section 76, Section 75, Section 74 legislation? He said, no, I don't have a clue. Bills are Greek to me. I don't know them. I said, why are you in the parliamentary office if you don't know anything about basic lawmaking as contained in Section 114, Section 115, Section 116, and Section 133? So he was clueless, and he said, I didn't do any work, that's why he doesn't have a performance. How can you work in an institution for years, you don't even have a performance agreement, you don't even have a report? How would you be assessed? Now he's saying to us, I'm charging you 6 million to say, I have been frustrated by the commission, and I'm saying, pay me 8 months. He didn't come to work. This person has never signed even an attendance register. Consequence management from the managers, why didn't it kick in? The relation between PFMA allows us to oversee what the CEO is doing and managers under them. It's in Section 38 of the PFMA, Public Finance Management Act, which governs us. The accounting officer and officers under him or her, must account to this board. We cannot leave a laissez faire in the commission, in the administration, because we are called interfering and patching and doing all sorts of things. We have to see to it that this commission, as you have gave us the muscle. You have done exceptionally well. The past 4.5 years I was here, as my contract is going to end, I'm very proud of honorable members. Your shrewd oversight has made me a better person in life. And wherever I will go, if I don't come back, I will be very proud to say honorable members do oversight perfectly. Lastly, CEO and chairperson relationships, there will always be an inherent tension. Supervisor and supervisee, it happens at a lower level. The chairperson cannot come here and hear that the final written warning has been invoked on the IT manager when she was not told by the CEO who reports to her, whom she signs her performance agreement, whom she gives a performance bonus for the work done. That was an anomaly. And we had to get in as commissioners and interfere and say, have due process been followed? Because you have a risk in this institution of litigation. How many people have taken the CGE to court, to the CCMA? And we have to arrest the situation and avoid it happening going further. Even for commissioners coming after us, I'm happy to say those who come after us, go to the Eastern Cape and work there and see how much work we have done. You will be surprised. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were two questions I wanted to relate to that all our members had asked specifically. One of them is the Tutu Zeba Care Center. If you remember historically, the Tutu Zeba Care Center, in fact, there was a partnership between the European Union and, to be specific, the Justice Department, the sexual offences. And the purpose was that there will come a particular time where the European Union will gradually phase out their involvement in terms of resources. But what then subsequently happened, honourable member, is that there was no, they are not adequately resourced. And in my previous life, working at this particular NGO, we worked closely with Tutu Zeba Care Centers. Mm-hmm. Now the difficulty is and remains that, which you pointed out, honourable member, that they are not resourced. And the people that do work there, I mean, in my province in Limpopo, you have Mangweng Hospital. You have people who give their time freely. You have some doctors who give their time freely, nurses who are forensic. So the long and short is that there has to be a way that government needs to say that European Union, you are no more here, and these are vital because this is a one-stop shop, which avoids or seeks to avoid your secondary victimization, as we saw with the Omotoso case. So I'm just saying that the one only thing is there has to be a to revisit the strategy of how do you then make sure that, because to the healthcare centers are actually servicing the poorest of the poor. I will be able, or they need to be able to go to a private clinic. But if you are in Mangweng, far remote, or if you are in an area called Nobody, I mean, the women there, these are the ones that the services really, really takes care of them. Or even the, like I said, in Mangweng, at the University of Limpopo, young students who are violated or raped, if you have the report, when we visit the hospital, the Tutuzela Care Centers, they will tell you how difficult it is for students to get assistance, to get help, because you would need the legal person, you need a doctor, you need a forensic nurse. So it's important to have that. There was an issue on maintenance, and honourable members, I think sitting here in the different men's forums, like yesterday, we're here. There was a one which I think is also a powerful thing that this country is doing, which we will talk to one day about. I mean, how the different men's groups coming up who are positive, who are challenging patriarchy, who are challenging privileges, but it's not a one day thing. But in those, like in the yesterday's meeting, issues of maintenance come up and say, but You know, it's not only about payment, but it's also about emotional connectedness, about fathers having a relationship with their children. But critical is that those that men that are able to, who are gainfully employed, it's important for them to give money. To give money to their children. The last thing about that I wanted to respond to is that we have been, and this is what the chairperson has been doing, is with the Umtoso case, we have been able not only to monitor it, but also to do some proactive steps, chairperson. And one of those steps was that we had asked in the Umtoso case, if you look at it, the prosecutor had not been active to protect or to ensure that the survivor does have protection. So, Chairperson, I will stop there.
Honorable members, as we all know that, CTA, we apologize for the time. Especially we are having a delegation from Tanzania who is visiting us. We are supposed to have started the meeting at 1 o'clock. But I think the chairperson is just going out to take over from now to say that we apologize for that, honorable members. I don't know when are we going to get the financial report from the team, because we all know that we have a little bit of time now. It's just changing parliament that the meeting should start at 11 o'clock. This is going to affect our work from now. It's now on until the election time. So I'm very sorry for that. I think we have to adjourn the meeting and give the delegation time, because we know that by 1:45 we are supposed to be in the house.
Yeah.
In the city. Thank you very much, CTE. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The members, the meeting is adjourned.
Why did you do
that? Sorry.
CTE.
Okay, CTE, I think you can go or you can sit with us. There's no problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. We are sorry that we had to come in this manner, honorable member. We were told that the meeting starts at 1 o'clock, so we were here at 1, actually at 10 to 1. And from my watch, I think we're only left with 25 minutes. First of all, as we know that this is a meeting between the delegation from Tanzania and the Portfolio Committee on Women and the caucus, Women's Caucus. Does everybody have the list of delegations in front of them?
Yes.
I'll start by welcoming them. I hope you are seated on the correct side of the table.
Yes.
Yeah, because that will be the first mistake that we have made if we put you on the wrong side of the table. Yeah, as far as protocol is concerned. My name is Rosalia Murutwa, and around the table from our side in South Africa, we've got the two whips of the two committees. I hope they are going to introduce themselves. Can I say?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is, should I say Honorable? Yeah. Honorable Ntabise Nkuno. I'm the whip of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus and the whip of Women in the Presidency. Going somewhere, she'll come back. I think when she comes, she'll introduce herself. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
And the other members,
and welcome.
Introduce themselves as well.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Patricia Chwe. I'm the member of the Women's Portfolio Committee, the President. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And
I'm also with Multi-Party Caucus. I'm serving the two committees. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Grace Tseke. I'm also the member of the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency and the member also of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, led by Honorable Murutwa. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to you. I am Denise Robinson. I'm also a member of this Portfolio Committee on Women and the Multi-Party Women's Caucus.
Molweni. My name is Terry Stander, and I'm a member of this committee. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Crystal Levendale. I am the researcher to the Portfolio Committee on Women.
Afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Nelisa Nobatana. I'm the committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Temaka Zimbapela. I'm a candidate advisor for the Multi-Party Women's Caucus.
And the lady hiding behind the computer.
Yeah, computer.
Good afternoon, honourable members. My name is Jody. I'm a monitor at the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good afternoon, honourable members. My name is Henry Fakawa. I'm with the Internet Application Section of Parliament. We facilitate this kind of meeting.
I don't know. Thank you very much from our side in South Africa. I'm going to hand over to the delegation, whoever is leading the delegation, to introduce themselves.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much for having time for us this afternoon. My name is Lolesia Maserebu Kuimba. I am the Member of Parliament from Republic Tanzania. And we are 60 members of Parliament whom they are going to introduce themselves and the two staffs from the National Assembly of the National Assembly of Tanzania. So I welcome all members of Parliament to introduce everyone on yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Rose Cyprian Tweve. I'm a Member of Parliament. I come from Iringa Region. Iringa Region is southern part of Tanzania. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Chairperson, as Member of Parliament. My name is Magdalena Sakaya. I'm the Member of Parliament from Tanzania and also coming from one of the constituents known as Kaliwa constituent in Tabora Region. Thank you.
My name is Sophia Mwakagenda. I'm a Member of Parliament. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Faharia. I am the Member of the Parliament, Special Seat, coming from Zanzibar. Thanks.
My name is Rosemary. I'm the Secretary to this delegation. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Belista. I'm also a secretary to this delegation.
Yeah. My name is Cecilia Vareso, Member of Parliament from Arusha Region. Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Maybe before I even welcome you, I should indicate to you that the lady that was sitting next to me was the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Women, and she has left. I think she's going to meet the Chair of Chairs. I think the whip has also left. Whether she has accompanied her, but they are not here. And we are going to be having Grace Sege. Grace Sege, who's going to be speaking on behalf of the Portfolio Committee of Women. Because we find ourselves in this predicament here, I think we'll have to rush through things. According to the letter that we received, you were interested, I see on the program, that you had a courtesy call on the Deputy Speaker. Yes. At 13 hours, you were supposed to meet us.
Yes.
Now, we are this multi-party women's caucus. I happen to be the chairperson.
Yes.
I'm just going to go through the establishment of the multi-party. Yes, it was established, the current multi-party that we have is from 2014, as established at the beginning of the fifth parliament, which is the fifth parliament is one that we're going through now. We're wrapping up. This is a platform for women parliamentarians to champion gender equality and women's issues and outside parliament also. Across party political lines, it is comprised of all women members. As you see us here, we are members from different parties. Yes, from both NCOP. Unfortunately, I don't think we have. They've gone to provinces. Are they here? The NCOP.
They're not around.
Yeah, they are not around. They've gone to province. Yeah. Here is the NA, which is us here. The multi-party, fortunately, has members also from the Portfolio Committee. So we'll be speaking in two terms here, you shouldn't be surprised that they will be talking also as multi-party. Yes. And the establishment of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus is a structure established in terms of Joint Rule 137G, led by a chairperson elected from the majority party and a deputy chairperson from opposition parties. The entire Multi-Party Women's Caucus is directed by a steering committee comprised of chairperson, deputy chair, and other five members elected by the caucus. Amongst the other members, we also interested in having the chair of the other portfolio committee, who should be amongst them. And our vision of the multi-party, the South African National Parliament multi-party, envisages a society where women are able to enjoy and gain brought about the democracy in the country. The Multi-Party Women's Caucus adopted vision is about emancipation and liberation of women in South Africa. Its mission, as adopted by the multi-party, is to lobby, influence, and advocate for the emancipation of all women in South Africa by challenging barriers and stereotypes that hinder equitable participation of women in all aspects of their lives. The multi-party is committed in moving the gender equality agenda forward while uniting all women across racial, political lines for a common course. As you were walking in, I think you saw other people going out here. That was the Gender Commission. Yes, they came to meet the Portfolio Committee. So that is why we have this vision as a multi-party, because we also have the Portfolio Committee, that is members of the Portfolio Committee amongst us. And we think it's our responsibility also. The mandate of this Multi-Party Women's Caucus is empowered by Joint Rule 137K to act as an advisory, influencing and consultative body by representing the interests and concerns of women members of Parliament, promoting the discussion of women issues in Parliament, making submissions to parliamentary committees charged with oversight of women's issues, introducing women perspectives and focus in parliamentary activities, engaging on women's developmental and empowerment issues with political structures outside parliament, with international women parliamentarians to report annually to both houses on its activities. We've got focus groups in parliament, national relations. That is headed by the chair of one of the chairs in Parliament, and of the House rather. Thank you. And the chairperson of the Women's Parliament, Multi-Party Women's Caucus rather, is one of the members that go out to international meetings of SADC. Is appointed by the whole the committee. So we've got different focus groups. Some of them go to other, like the meetings that are held by the CSW, the meetings that are held by BRICS, all the meetings that are held internationally. We've got different focus groups. So the chairperson of the multi-party also meets other parliamentarians internationally at the SADC. Resources, in order for the South African National Parliament multi-party to be able to execute its mandate and function, the issue of resources becomes vital. The multi-party is supported by a committee secretary, a researcher, a content advisor. The multi-party has a dedicated time slot to meet and conduct its activities once a month on a test day, but the steering committee meets regularly to plan, and it was quite, very difficult for us to achieve that we meet as a caucus. We only got this privilege, I think it was about a few months ago, that we can have a day in a month that we meet as caucus.
it was so difficult for us to be allowed to do that. This is quite an achievement for the multi-party, where all women members are able to concentrate on issues affecting women. Decisions of the multi-party women's caucus can decide on any matter if there is agreement among majority members present, if at least 15 members are present. Activities of the multi-party, I've got a string of them, but because of time, I'm going to allow next to me here seated is a member of the portfolio committee that is standing in for the chairperson also to give us their mandate as the portfolio committee, so that we can cover this. And we'll get into other things like the activities that the multi-party is doing when she has gone through her.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me greet and welcome the delegation from Tanzania. Hope you're enjoying South Africa. South Africa is a very peaceful country, and the people here are so loving. You can hear even the institution itself, Parliament, that is a peaceful country. So the mandate of the Portfolio Committee on Women, it's underpinned by four key pillars, namely oversight. We're doing oversight, we're doing legislation, international participation, and public participation. And this, just to give more information, this Portfolio Committee actually was formed in 2009, and by that time it was Portfolio Committee on Women, and it was also including children and people with disabilities. But in 2014 there was a restructuring of some kind, and the children and people with disabilities were taken to a transferred to Department of Social Development, and this Portfolio Committee left with women component only. So we are dealing specifically with women's issues only in this Portfolio or Committee. But I must say upfront to say we are working together with the multi-party women's caucus. Majority actually of all the members who are serving in the Portfolio Committee are members of the Portfolio Committee, the multi-party women's caucus is. And then in terms of oversight, we are holding the executive structures accountable, so that they can be able to just to hold the executive structures that are responsible for improving the lives of women, that is the Department of Women in the presidency. I must say that it is the department itself, it's within the presidency, though it does have a standalone budget, but it is within the presidency. And the second oversight, the responsibility that we have is to monitor and evaluate implementation on overseas legislations with respect to the women. And then the third one is to influence, to lobby, to mobilize, to monitor and oversee that appropriate budget are allocated for the implementation of legislations, policies, and programs that are targeted for women. In terms of legislation, we are responsible to initiate as the Portfolio Committee. We can be able to legislate. We can be able to legislate legislation and regarding women that affects women. And then the other matter, we have to ensure, as part of our work, we have to ensure that the needs of the women are mainstreamed into all the government departments, organs of state, public entities, and the civil society at large. What we're trying to say is that we've got a responsibility as the Portfolio Committee to make sure that all the departments of government, be it your economic cluster, your Department of Trade and Industry, or Department of Small Business,
we've got a responsibilities portfolio committee to call them to come and account if they have budget, if certain budget it's reinforced or it's they've prioritized women in terms of their programs in the department. So it is our responsibility as a portfolio committee. So we call all the departments, we cut across actually all the departments. We can call whatever department that we want to come and account to see if they prioritize women in terms of their work. And the other matter is with regard to international participation. We have to ensure that there's compliance with international and regional treaties that has a bearing on women. Normally around, just to give an example, normally around March, we also attend and participate in the CSW conference. I think you're also participating as the Tanzanian parliament, just to see and just to assure and just to share with other countries how we are doing in terms of gender equality. How are women represented in terms of parliament, in terms of local government and the provincial legislature? And just to check other best practices in other countries so that we can be able to implement them in our country. But I must say that in South Africa, yes, we are doing well, even though this term, in the previous term, in the fourth parliament, we were above in terms of women's representation in parliament, we are above 50. But this term, in the fifth parliament, we are less than 50, which is 46, we are at 46%. And majority of the women, actually all the portfolio committees which are there in parliament, women are represented. So we are of the view that all women who are represented in the portfolio committee must be able to raise issues that are affecting our women out there in from the constituents. They must be able to take out all the issues that are affecting women in their areas, in their community that they represent in parliament. They must be able to raise them at different portfolio committees. And then in terms of public participation, our responsibility is to create opportunities for public participation and civil society on key matters pertaining to women. We had recently the public hearings together with the, because most of the things we are sharing them with the multi-party committee, we had public hearings that deals with decriminalization of sex work. That's the matter that is affecting women out there. So we thought that it is good that we invite civil society, we invite women out there, your NGOs, just to get their views in terms of how our country can move forward in terms of, because in South Africa presently we're criminalizing that sex work. And you've got a lot of outcry from our sex workers that they are abused by police, you know, there are so many things that are affecting them. So there's this proposal of decriminalization of sex work. So we call them just to hear their views, because we think that parliament, it's parliament of the people. Parliament represents the people. We're here on behalf of the people out there. So we must listen to their views, because they've given us the mandate to come to parliament. The program of the portfolio committee this term, it was, because we've got too many issues that are affecting women. Majority of women are unemployed, poverty is just affecting us. There's a lot of inequality in all the countries. I think it's worldwide. Inequality is affecting us. But we have said and we have agreed as the portfolio committee this term that we should focus on, one, violence and its impact on socially vulnerable groups, which are women. Violence is rife in our country, but I think it's a worldwide thing. People are raped, women are killed, you know, children are abused, you know, such cases. And the other matter is survival and development. The other matter that we have prioritized is education and skills development. We are aware that women, majority of women are not working, so we are just checking lobbying with government departments, especially education, to say how do we then assist our women out there in making sure that we create opportunities for education. for them, and skills development. How do we make sure that we create job employment for women out there? Because we are believing, actually in South Africa, women are more than 50%. We are at 52% of the population in our country. Therefore, we must be able to make sure that we transform them in our society. And the other one is poverty and economic empowerment. Chair, I think the last one you have just indicated it. The entities that are responsible, that we are responsible for, is the Commission for Gender Equality. They are accountable to us. We are giving them budget as a parliament through this portfolio committee, and and all the activities that they are doing throughout the year, they are reporting on a quarterly basis to us as the portfolio committee. I think in summary, that's the role of the portfolio committee.
Thank you. We have got a summary of activities also, but some of them are mentioned here. And I just want to say, when we advocate for women's socioeconomic issues, one of the things that we have just achieved is lobbying and advocating for the removal of VAT on sanitary towels and provisions of free sanitary towels. Treasury has announced the removal of the VAT from sanitary towels. I could be going on on issues already. She has reported that actually we are 42% in South Africa. Representation in Parliament. All the things that she has reported on, I just want to allow you people so that we interact before we can go. Allow the Tanzanian delegation to just give us a brief report on what you do in Tanzania. I know that you had a good, a representative from Tanzania, the old lady that used to come to SADC. Yes, she was very good, and she reported to us a lot of things that we have achieved. Some of them were quite, fascinating, because as South Africa, we're still struggling to come back to what we were, but I would like to hear from you. We know that we've got challenges. We've also got challenges. I think when we interact, we'll mention. I don't know whether other members will be coming after PET and after they've given us their report.
Okay. Thank you very much for giving us time to be with you so that you can share experiences through us. We are women members of parliament. We have a caucus in Tanzania called the Tanzania Women Parliamentary Group, and it was established a bit further in 1993, and it is working across, and through this caucus, the main goal of establishment was to increase the number of women parliamentarians.
I just forgot to tell you that there is food down there. Yes, you can take food and come. We have working lunch rather, so that we can deal with the time. I think we are going to work. But I don't know whether it is fair for other people. Can we go over 2:00? Because I think the first report, they won't vote immediately when they get into parliament. Maybe we give ourselves 10 minutes extra.
Okay.
Okay, as I have said, it was established with the main goal of increasing the number of women parliamentarians and also increase their contribution and the influence on parliamentary activities. as well as ensuring there is increased improvement and special attention is paid to issues of women within the parliament and also the marginalized groups in the community. This caucus was also recognized by the Speaker of the National Assembly, and so that the group, the caucus, can be able to raise issues of concern within the national debate. In case of the proposed activities, such as the proposed private motions to be raised and the gender analysis of the sectoral budgets which feeds into the parliamentary debates. So the membership is open to all of us, all the women MPs, members of that caucus. And now we are almost about 145 women MPs, and all of us, we are members to this caucus. And now we are almost about 39% women within the parliament of Tanzania. And therefore we have come here so that we can learn from you as you are further to the number. You have done very well, because you are said you are 42% women within the national parliament. Also, in the issue of the caucus in many parliaments, we all know that, as you have said, we are also the member of SADC, and our chairperson of the caucus is also the member of SADC PF. And on behalf of her, we are the one attending that SADC PF meetings. So in this case, as the Tanzania Women Parliamentary Group, we are also very keen in ensuring that the capacity building are being done, especially to women MPs. We all know that the turnover for members of parliament is almost about 70%. So new members of parliament are coming in. So this caucus is established for that purpose of doing some capacity building programs to new members and all members of the caucus, so that it can be able to enhance their abilities and their capacities in order to undertake the parliamentary activities and also advocate for women issues. So that is the case in Tanzania's caucus. And we are here also, we arrived yesterday here in Cape Town, and we are eager to learn from you. It is just a study tour, so that we can have a lot of sharings from you. And here, members of parliament, they are eager to learn from you. And we are very thankful to see, to have your historical background of what you are doing in your caucus. But in Tanzania, we don't have the portfolio committee. We don't have a committee about gender, especially for women. No, we don't have that committee. So it is a learning also for us, so that when we go back in Tanzania, we will be able to share it. And if it's possible, maybe the speaker, if they will allow us to have something like a committee, so that to see deeply, to oversight, to do the oversight function. If you have a committee as a parliament, yeah, I'm sure everything will go well, because the committee is very strong and powerful compared to the caucus. So we are here to learn from you, and because we are many members of parliament here, I would like also to welcome them, so that if they have anything else to ask, because it's just a study tour, to ask what you are doing here, so that we can share some experiences from you. And when we go back in Tanzania, also we can be able to share also to our national parliament and also to our community, because you are coming from the constituencies. Yeah. So I welcome my fellow members. If they have anything else to add, I welcome you. Karibuni.
So, I'm sorry I've got the name's here, but I don't know what is the name. You can introduce yourself again.
Okay, my name is Sophia Makagenda.
Okay, Sophia.
Yeah, Hebron. Yeah. You said that you are doing the program of Sunset Path, but also as a women in our parliament, we started a new project. We know that the government must put the big budget for the toilets, especially for girls in the school. But we as women, we decided to make fundraising by using our name because we are member of parliament. So if we go to the big companies and we put like a donation, they donate to us. So you get a lot of money. So we are going to build the toilets as women. That is a very big project we started. Maybe we want you to know that you have that big thing we are doing. But another thing which is good for you, I saw that your committee is very powerful. You can call the NGOs and, you know, so this is new for us. I think me and our fellow, we are going to think about it so that we can make sure everything is going well. Thank you.
Do we have someone else who would like to speak from the delegation?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. It's good to hear from you. It seems you are very far, very far. And actually, I think what you are doing as this particular committee is it makes the women of South Africa to be happy because they are sure their issues have been addressed in the parliament, especially by using this committee. What I want to know is that since you started this committee, portfolio committee, 2009, to date, how far have you gone to solve the issues of the women in the country? And another thing is you said as a committee, you are going in the interior to have those issues of the women addressed to the committee. Do you go as a committee, or what strategy we put in the ground in the interior to make sure all the issues, because other issues are in the very interior and also within the family, so it's even issue to even not easy to know them because some of them they are hidden in the family. You as a committee, what system do you use to make sure all the issues, even though they are hidden, are come out so that you can address them and have a solution in the parliament? And the third is that you are making follow-up to make sure the budget is allocated enough for the women issues. How was the response of the government? Did the government hear you and allocate enough budget for the women issues, or you are all struggling? How is the acceptance of the government according to what you do? Thank you.
I'm going to allow the other members maybe to respond on the other issues that have just been asked. Responsive. We've got a summary of activities and a summary of challenges, but I'm going to allow the members because the questions that we are very, very important. So members can indicate by show of hands. Mrs. Robertson, and after that, it's you, Honorable Pett. I don't know whether you are giving me the cold drink or lifting up your head.
I thought you had cold drink.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I'm glad to be able to say a few words because I do have to run to another meeting now and some other obligations. I think you asked a very pertinent question. Do we have enough money to do all the things we do or we would like to do? And I think the answer to that is no. And I think we're all united in that, in the committee, across the parties, that perhaps women's interests are not sufficiently catered for. We have the Department of Women, but the budget is small. And out of the budget for the Department of Women, we also fund the Commission for Gender Equality. And that, too, is something that we feel is very important. They have offices throughout the country. You asked about being available in the deep rural areas, in the interior. We do have offices, but I think that we all unite in saying the budget needs to be more gender sensitive, considering that women are in the majority, and we need a lot more assistance. Honourable Grace mentioned the fact that there is gender violence and there's discrimination. I think this happens throughout the world, but it's something that we take seriously, and we really want to help women, especially the younger generations, younger women and the children growing up, to have the opportunity to be well educated and to be able to think for themselves and not to be dominated by men. Some who are well-intentioned, others are not. They're actually like predators. So we have to teach our young ladies as well that you don't just go for money and for fancy tackies and things like that. Although when there is so much poverty, people are inclined to want the pretty things and to want what everybody else has had. So gender budgeting is important. I was out for a little while, so I don't know whether you mentioned it, but that is something we're also working towards, that all departments of the government and throughout all the provinces take into account that the budgets need to be looked at through the eyes of a woman, through the feminine point of view. Because we are the mothers, we are the grannies, we're the people who are building the future, and the foundation lies on us. So we do what we can, but I think we would like more assistance, but that's for us to fight, continue fighting for. I think I'll leave it at that because time is limited. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable. Just before Honourable Petro comes in, I think I've been scolded here. You know, I'm sitting with my enemy here. She wants to take over now. She's asking me whether we're co-chairing or I'm just, you know, suppressing it.
I've got a gap time.
She wants to say something.
Oh, thanks, Chair. I thought that in the absence of the Chair, I'll be the acting Chair of the portfolio. So it looks like I've been suppressed. So just to clarify the issue that was raised by Honourable Robinson, the budget of the Department of Women, Department of Women in the presidency, it's 149 million. I'm trying to emphasize that the budget is too low. It's less than what actually we would want in order to take the issues of women forward. And then the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality, it's 80 million. They're complaining each and every day to say it's less than, and CGE is a Chapter 9 institution. It's an independent institution. So we are giving them 80 million. But, you know, understanding the history of the country, where we come from, and the issues, you know, the competing needs, your shortage of roads, electricity, schools, and all this, you'd understand that the country, it's finding itself in a crossroad, that we can't, you know, fund even our Chapter 9 institutions properly. So I wanted to clarify, you know, the budget, so that you can see where we're coming from and where do we intend to go. And I think it's increasing year in, year out, but not according to our expectations. Yes, thank you very much, Chair.
Chair,
thank you very much, and welcoming the delegation. I think when you deal with women's issues, it's not easy, because it's a deep, structural, systematic issue that needs a concerted effort. When you relax the redress all the gains that you have done. So there are many gains that we did in 1994, getting women to vote, getting women to be in parliament and all that, but when we relaxed, they pushed us back, and then they gave us the women's ministry. There was a gender machinery that was functioning well, and then they reversed that. When we got the women's ministry, and then the women's ministry had to start from scratch. So whilst you're relaxing, the men are also planning to fight you on the other side. Because it's not about men and women, It is a system that uses men to oppress women. But men see themselves as the protectors of the system, you see. So that's the difficulty. So at the moment, we are sitting with a ministry that is not funded according to the way we want it to be funded. I think I like the issue where women also do the fundraising part. Yes. I think that's what we must also copy, that there are women that are also doing that. In South Africa, unfortunately, we're still sitting with our past, which is very dominant, even our different parties, you see. So there are parties that are saying, we will put women into the party as a zebra. It will be a man and a woman, a man and a woman, when we do the parliamentary list. But we're sitting with parties that are saying, it will only be men in front and women at the back. So there is no legislation that forces other parties. That is why when it is this election, women are many. When it is another election, women are few. So there are parties that are committed to put patriarchal issues forward than women. And then the issue of the participation of the portfolio committee. The portfolio is attached to a department. Each portfolio is attached. It oversees a department. So that is why you have the women in the presidency, that the portfolio of women oversee the women portfolio in the presidency. And then maybe the other issues is that in South Africa, maybe, I don't know Tanzania, but in South Africa there are many organizations, the NGOs that were established before we took over. There are many women's organizations. So the women's organizations. So you go on the ground, either you use those women's organizations, but basically what the department does, it also calls public meetings. So if it is the Department of Women, it says, no, we want dialogues. And then it will have a budget allocated and then go to the ordinary people and talk to them and get issues and then input them in what they want to do. And then if it is CGE also, it will go, it will have legal clinics, issues to deal with. And if it is a case like this one, the present case, Otomoso case, where they went and into the community and then they challenge even the justice system. So it will depend on the issue. If that issue in that area, like Ugutwala, is a cultural issue where women are abducted and then forced into marriages. So they will call a community there, they'll talk to the traditional leader and all that. All the issues that they get, and then they come and raise them with the committee and we will discuss on how to handle that particular issue. So the issue of public participation, it is done by the department, it is done by the committee. We can also call the community NGOs that deal specifically with the justice system, call them and talk to them and deal with the issue. Same applies to sanitary towels. We called different organizations as parliament, and then we talked amongst the committee. We had conferences and then summits, and then take those issues and raise them in the committee. I'm not sure if I have covered most of the things, but so far, the women's struggle, it's not easy. It's not easy. The men and women, there are those women who are willing to maintain the system, who don't want to go out of the system of oppression. So you will always have, like, it's like a tug war of some sort. So between us and them, but we try and push as much as we can. There are many issues that you will be discouraged in the process, but just like the budget, we have not yet got the gender budget right, because Treasury is also saying, we will not give you money. Women's issues are not important, you see. So all that. And in our committee, fortunately in our committee, we also have men. It is not only women, because we're fighting a system. We're not fighting
but women being the priority. So in our portfolio committee, there are two males that sit in our portfolio committee, and we try to raise the issue as much. So we have men, during 16 days of activism, we also have men's forums. We call them and then we discuss issues so that they can stand up against issues. I think I have tried to cover most of the issues today. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tassin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. I think both Honorable Member Chewu and Robinson covered a lot of questions that you have asked. But maybe to emphasize that, to show that, maybe to start where you have said, where you ended, that we don't have a legislation on the representation of women. That's why political parties do as they please. In fact, recently when we had a meeting with Home Affairs Department, they told us that they tried to make sure that they legislate through political party funding to legislate the 50-50 representation of women in parliament from other parties. And they were actually saying, we'll go to an extent of giving you an incentive if you have more women coming into parliament. But, you know, you can't force people on what they don't want to deal with. In fact, in other political parties, you find that, you know, after 100 days, after each and every election, after 100 days, you can then change your list processes in terms of people who can come to parliament. You'll find that that 50%, it's only done when we're starting a term. But in the middle of term, as members go out, you'll find that a woman is replaced by a man. Therefore, instead of us achieving that 50%, we don't achieve it at all. We'll go backwards instead of achieving what we want to achieve. So it's something, and, you know, because we have chairpersons there who are activists and who are pushing a lot of things, I think under their leadership, we will win and actually have that 50-50 representation. That's what we are fighting for. And again, Comrade Patty spoke about public participation. We said when we came in as the new democratic government that this is parliament for the people. So whatever we do, whatever legislation we pass in parliament, we make sure that there are public hearings. In other words, all our meetings are open to the public. That's why it's easy for us to meet with the NGOs, with the civil societies, and media also, because our committees in parliament are also transparent. And whatever that we say here, media is always welcomed in our meetings, so they help us to carry the message that we want to carry. I think that's what I wanted to talk to. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. I don't have much time. Actually, we've exceeded the time that we had asked for. I think one of the things that we'll ask our secretaries to do is to give you one of the documents that we had so that you can go through it. I don't know, I'm going to give this 5 minutes to you to tell us about your challenges, because the challenges that we have been covered by, because I know we also have challenges. Just one person could tell us maybe if you have challenges, because we do read maybe in the media some of the things. And we have got a lot also that we can tell you about in South Africa. You've heard the Honorable Tsu talking about Reverend Omotoso, and one of the things that I think we have achieved, yesterday the men had gathered here in Parliament. Yes,
yeah,
in support, you know,
conference.
And I thought it's a big achievement, because we were always, every time we talk about violence against women, we needed men to tell us where they feel they can support us. It mustn't be, it's not an issue for only women. Yes.
Can have someone, if you do have, to, if you don't, we are going to wrap up and then we'll give you the document. Yes. So, we are so, you know, blessed to have you in our parliament.
The person who's sitting next to me switches off my mic. When I want to speak, she doesn't switch it on.
No. Honorable member here wanted to talk.
There's a member?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
very short. Thank you. First of all, what were our challenge, first of the challenge, we don't have a committee special in the parliament which is working, dealing with the women issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first. Secondly, is the budget. Usually, you can meet even the budget of the government in the ministry, which is dealing with the children and women issues. When you see the allocation of budget is very small, so they can't manage even to do their daily activities. Yeah. Another challenge we are facing is to have the men who are eager to see the women issues are being dealt or being solved. Now you say you have the men in South Africa who have organized themselves to deal with the children and women issues. For Tanzania, still men, there is a, I don't know which word to use, they are not, maybe the education award, still we have a lot of problems which is caused by the men, like raping, like violence for the women, violence for the children. And a lot of issues. So, still in Tanzania, men has not yet come up to deal with the women issues like here in South Africa. So those are only few of them. To start with, I can say we are far from Tanzanian parliament. Yeah.
Hey,
Pashuram, yes. Ah, it's big competition, I'm telling you. Okay.
In addition to what Sakai have said, there is this kind of cultural barriers in our communities. The community, the culture of the community, they don't recognize women. So it needs much time to some awareness creation within the community so that to understand the importance also of women in leadership and also in contribution within the communities. That is some of our challenges that we have in our community. Otherwise, I will take this opportunity to thank you very much for what you have spoken to us. We have learned a lot from you, and we are sure that what we have received here, okay, we go to our national parliaments to share so that maybe something can happen in transforming our national parliaments, especially in the committee of women. So that is all about. Otherwise, we thank you very much for your time. On behalf of the team, we say thank you very much, and you are very much welcome also to our country next time. Okay, thank you.
I would like to thank you. You know, there are a few things that I would need clarity on, and I know it would take time because I know it's quite a challenge with you people. The LGBTI, the lesbian, gay, and Q issue, but I think we'll talk about it at some stage. I know how the other countries feel about it. And it's very difficult to convince men. I know in SADC, I took them to task one time. Because, you know, my argument was that I don't think it's fair for you know, to us women, because this issue now it's thrown to women, and these are only our needs. But we make these kids together with them.
Yeah.
That was my argument. And if you find yourself in that situation where you find it amongst your family, you have such, what do you do as a parent?
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things that maybe we'll talk about in, you know, in future. Because I hope that in even the sixth parliament, you'll have a committee that will interact with all the other countries. Thank you very much. I think we're going to wrap up so that we can walk over. I don't know from here, is there someone guiding you? Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. You can have, I noticed that you didn't have, you can have your lunch nicely and then just
and
allow us to go and then you can.
Red meat is a bit off, so red meat.
What?
Red meat is off. It's off. I thought it was like, we're not quiet. It's a bit off.
What
you not taking? Mm. So,